the reservation. Is it ready?
Amen.
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is. It's right. Thank God for that. I'm telling you, it's always a neat time with a very, very good friend of Monica and I here today. We all went to high school together about 50 years ago. Well, the girls went there 50 years ago. I went there 22 years ago. But Kim is here today, and one of Monica's best friends, and mine, her brother, and I were best friends in high school, and we just go back a long, long way. And Kim, whenever you're able to be here, we love you. Thank you for being here, and tell Fred that her husband and her brother and I, we all played football together. We were all, I mean, all the women was after us back in the day and everything. And tell Fred I said that. Larry, you're not filming right now, are you? Yeah. Well, that'd be kind of like, well, now that you're filming, so you're going to go hear a good preacher? Because he watches it Sunday after Sunday. Tom Sparrow at Wakefield Baptist Church, you think he's a better preacher than I am?
He's pretty good.
That's because I taught him everything he knows. Give me a little bit of case. Tom, I taught you everything you know. So, you know, it is good to have family people who love the Lord, and it's great when people really, truly express how they feel about Jesus. And I was very fortunate to grow up around family who love the Lord, and Tom's been at Wakefield for 12, 20 years and does a great job up there. I was there for 7 years, and well, he was there for 3 years. I followed him for seven. There was a preacher that was there for a year and a half, and he came back, and he's been there 20 years, and between the two of us, we spent over 30 years up there, and I got 25 and a half years here. And it's to me, it's wonderful, and he's got a great congregation up there, and I've got a great congregation here. When we get together and we talk about it, that's what we talk about. We talk about we are surrounded by people who love the Lord. And he and I both have opportunities to go to bigger churches. I don't want anything any bigger, because what I got here, money came by. And I love you for that, and I appreciate that. Good morning. And he'll love the fact that you think he's a better preacher than I am. Before. I don't know what you said. All right, 2013. We started off talking about how God will bless us when we give to him the formula of the tithes and the offerings, and how God has blessed us with that. Now we've been talking about for quite a while on how to survive 2013. We do not know from day to day what we're going to see, what to expect, what's going to happen tomorrow. You don't know that. But Jesus gives us teaching all the way through the Bible, and especially when we look at the Gospels, we're going to take a look at some of Jesus' most wonderful words about service and how to look at it. So take a look first of all at Mark chapter 8, we're going to look at verses 34 through 37. Jesus speaking, and when he had called the people unto him, with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Is that what we're going to do? Bow your heads with me, please. So every head is bowed and every eye is closed. Father, we truly thank you. Thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, who died on the cross, was raised the third day, ascended to heaven, is at the right hand of God the Father. One day, he's coming after his people. The reservation's been made in Calvary. We're ready, Lord. We're ready. But until the day comes, we're going to preach your word. We're going to be ready in season and out of season. And make people know because the sound of our voice that the invitation has been given to take up the cross and to follow him. Father, as we look at what it truly means to be a servant in God's house and among God's people, bless your words today. May they be powerful, May they reach out to a dying world who needs to know that Jesus is alive and on the throne in God's house. Bless these moments together. In Jesus' most precious and holy name we pray. And everyone said,
amen.
Look at what Jesus says here. He said unto them, whosoever will come after me. In other words, whosoever will accept my invitation. Who will believe in me and follow me. Here's what you are to do. Let him, let her deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. Whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. Come after me. Follow me. Let him deny himself. Jesus' teaching is simply this. If you're going to follow me, first of all, you've got to believe in me. We say on this side of the cross, you have to believe in Jesus Christ for salvation. There is no other way to heaven. None. Period. I don't care who says it, who believes it. The Bible, the truest word of God says there's only one way to heaven, and that is through the blood of Jesus Christ. Believing in the cross and the resurrection and the fact that he's coming back again. He is the only one that can forgive sin, and he is the only one that can get you into the gates of heaven by believing in him. You believe that, give the Lord a hand of applause. Now, the phrase here, take up his cross and follow me. The cross literally cost Jesus his life because he was committed. He was committed to doing what he had to do for you and I, which meant he truly had to become sin. And that's why he became the sacrifice on the cross. So as we believe in that sacrifice, it doesn't mean that you and I have to die on the cross, but we have to believe on the cross. This is what this means to carry your cross. To carry your cross means you're not ashamed of Jesus.
Amen.
You're not ashamed of the gospel. And you are going to carry that to whomever will listen to you.
Amen.
It means that wherever you go, whatever you do, whatever situation you find yourself in, you believe in the cross of Calvary. You believe in the man who died there, who sacrificed his life there, who shed his blood there, so that you believe in him. And you want the world to know it by how you live, what you say, where you go, and what you do. That's what it means to deny self, because Satan doesn't want that. He wants you to be all about you. He says, it's not about you. It's not about me. It's what we believe in. And that is that Jesus is the Son of God. He died. He rose, and he's coming back again.
Amen.
And when we live that, and preach that, and believe that, it changes people's lives. Give the Lord a hand of applause. Now this is a real neat phrase. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. Whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For whosoever shall save his life, when you understand what the cross is all about, the cross means sacrifice. You have to be willing, if you're going to live for Jesus and believe in that, there's a cost there. Now, you don't pay for it with money, but there's a cost there. The cost is the fact that I don't belong to myself. I belong to Jesus. I answer to a higher power than my own self.
That's right.
In that means I answer to a higher power. And if I choose not to answer to a higher power and answer to myself, this is what it means when it says, whosoever will save his life, means that you think you can save yourself. Here's what he's saying. If you think you can save yourself, here's what's going to happen. You're going to lose it. You get that? You can't save yourself, folks. There's no way. There's no way. But, big but, whosoever shall lose his life for my sake, which means you turn your life over to Jesus for his sake and the sake of what? The gospel. What is the gospel?
The gospel is to live your life so that others can see Jesus in you. The gospel is how you witness every day. The gospel is how you live every day. And if you stand for something, when you stand for Jesus, you stand for what all that believes, the same self-saving. Not only do you save yourself, but you lead others to the cross. You lead others to the gospel. You lead others to salvation. And that's what you are called to do. To show the world that Jesus is your Lord. And He's who you answer to. He's the one's coming back for you. And He's the one that this is all about. Woo! Give the Lord a hand of applause. Where do you go? The word prophet. You know, I like prophet, don't you? If you don't have a prophet, what do you got? That's a loss. That's right. Anybody here ever had a loss before?
Yeah.
Woo! Hello, here we go. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Even if you're rich, even if you're powerful, even if you think, you know, I'm the one that works. I'm the one that gets up. I'm the one that's educated. I'm the one that makes the money. I'm the one that controls the money. I'm in control of my own destiny because I'm the man. I'm the woman. Whatever the case may be. When you get that arrogant about yourself, look what it says. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world? Whole world. Who cares what you're the head of? What you're the boss of? Who cares? Doesn't matter. You can be the most powerful person in the world and go straight to hell. Because when you leave this life, I don't care how many people you supervise, how powerful a person you are, how rich you are. And this is what Jesus, because Jesus was dealing with people who were very arrogant in his time. You guys all watched this movie on the History Channel. They portrayed that wonderful. These people were pious people. And what he's saying is, I don't care how powerful you are, how holy you think you are, if you can't humble yourself before God, and acknowledge God and acknowledge His Son. What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Lose his own soul. Gain what? Satan says, you know, you be about yourself. You take care of yourself. You worry about yourself. Don't worry about anything else. If Jesus had thought that, folks, we'd all be in hell right now.
That's right.
There's not a more humble person that ever walked this world than Jesus Christ. It's not all about yourself. It's all about the fact of sacrifice and living that others can see there's hope, there's a Savior, there's salvation, there's a chance for those who give their life to Jesus. No matter how bad it seems, how awful the world's getting, everybody's talking about this thing over in North Korea and this young man over there keeps opening up his mouth and all that kind of stuff. That shouldn't surprise you, people. Anywhere over in that part of the world, until the trumpet sounds, there's going to be trouble. Don't be shocked by that. Know your Bible. Read your Bible. Study your Bible. But I'm telling you, there's no 30-year young man, nobody in China, nobody in Russia, nobody in Germany, nobody in North Korea, South Korea, Europe is going to take down God's world. One day of reckoning is coming. Give the Lord a hand. All right, now, all right, here we go. Now look what John says here. Jesus again is talking. He says, abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can you, except you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much, much, much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing.
Amen.
That's what it's about. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about who we serve. Now, Jesus gives this wonderful illustration. You know, I've been to Florida many times. And certain parts of Florida, certain times of the year, you know, they grow oranges down there. And I like orange juice. And so many years ago, Monica and I went to a place, we saw how they make that orange juice. And it's pretty neat how they do it. But you know, if you don't really know what the tree is all about until you see the fruit that it bears. I don't know one tree from another. You can tell me you got an apple tree, you got a peach tree, you got an orange tree. I don't know what that is. I don't know one tree from another. But if you tell me you got a peach tree and it grows oranges, then you know you're sort of messed up like I am. Okay? I mean, if you tell me it's a banana tree and apples come out of it, then you're messed up. Something's wrong. Okay? Alright? Orange is going to grow orange. Apple is going to grow apple. Okay? Banana is going to grow bananas. Christians, you're going to know by what you see.
Amen.
That's what it's all about. And the trouble of it is, everybody here, including myself, maybe me on the front row here, there are times in our own lives where people couldn't tell whether we were Christian or not. There was no fruit there. They couldn't tell what we were. And that's in some ways the way we want it. We don't want people to know who we are, what we are. That way we're not under any pressure to act. So we do what we want to do, say what we want to say. And that's a crying shame. Because we have to understand something. Jesus goes on to say, you know, a tree that doesn't bear much fruit, I'm going to cut it down. You don't want Jesus to cut you down. Now, there may be times when we're barren. There may be times when we're a little ill, sick, spiritually, mentally, physically. But we pray to the right source and the water begins to come. He can take something that's almost dead and bring it back to life. You and I have been almost dead before. He's brought us back to life. And what is it all about? Because we cannot do anything without Him. We are nothing without Him. What's it say? For without me, you can do nothing. We cannot live. We cannot bear fruit. We cannot do anything. And anything that we have belongs to Him because He's the one that's provided it for us. And when we understand that, and the way that we truly understand it, we can't do enough for God. We love coming to church. We love being a part of doing everything because we've come to realize without Him, we are nothing. And with Him, we are everything. We are everything. Brother Larry, what's our last verse for all these years? For with God, nothing should be impossible. I mean, nothing. Nothing is impossible when Jesus is leading the way. When He's with you, beside you, guiding you, comforting you, giving you grace, healing you, there's nothing impossible. And when we tell the world that nothing is impossible, because I have people tell me all the time, when I talk to people, whether they're customers in the store or people that I see, you know, and a lot of people want to come up to me and they want to ask me, a lot of times what I get is people are being said, I want you to pray for me. And I said, well, I will do that. What's the problem? And usually that's a way for me to get into a conversation. Because if they need prayer, there's something wrong. And I'll try to get in and see what the situation is and what the need is. And then I always close with one thing. I'm going to pray for you, but you know you can pray too. Well, I know God and I'm not on too good terms. Oh, really? Well, you can correct that too. Maybe I need to pray more about your relationship with God than what you've asked me to pray for more. See, it opens up a door for me to talk. And it always gets around this same thing. Yeah, but you don't know what I love you and what I love you. Know, and I hear that all the time. And I said, well, but it doesn't matter. When you look to all Satan wants you to do is look at your past all the time. And if you look at your past, if you look behind you all the time, then no wonder you're in the shape that you're in. Because you can't go back, you can't change that, even if you wanted to. What it is and what it is. What you can do is change today.
Amen.
And if you change it today, you can change tomorrow. Why? Because nothing is impossible. There's not a person on this planet that can't change. There's not a person on this planet that cannot be forgiven by Jesus Christ. In that world, listen to me. Wherever you're at, whatever you're doing,
you can be forgiven today. The only thing that God will not forgive you for is when you deny Jesus Christ. Other than that, you can be forgiven. You can change today. It can start today. You can be motivated today. And you'd be surprised at people who change today, whose lives can be changed tomorrow. Because when you're changed today and people see that, they're going to want to know, what's wrong with you? What have you done? And you don't have to come across like you're holier than thou. You just have to say, yesterday I was lost. Today I was saved. That's what it means. Yesterday I wasn't forgiven. Today I've been forgiven. It's a new day. It's a new day. Why? Say it with me.
For with God, nothing shall be impossible.
Give the Lord a hand of applause. Stand with me, please. Sit with your Bible. With every eye is closed. Father, by the amazing grace today, may your Spirit go forth in love, that everyone within the sound of my voice, Father, will know that Jesus loves them, willing to forgive no matter what they've done, if they would just ask for it, and acknowledge Jesus as the Son of God, acknowledge his amazing grace is within their grasp. They would just say, Father, forgive me. I believe in you. Father, my prayer is everyone will understand that God is a God of love. And that once we accept him, Father, we need to serve him in whatever capacity we have. We go, whatever we do, that your light shines in us because we believe in you. Father, bless this invitation. If there be one here in this audience today, Father, that is lost, may they come and you say, Brother Roger, I want to be saved. Let me have a word of prayer with them and let their life change even today. Need a quiet time, just offer here. We're going to allow you to come. Maybe there's someone you need to pray for. Maybe that's someone yourself. Maybe you're looking for a good church home. We'd love to have you. Dakota Baptist Church. And again, if you're watching by internet, all you got to do is bow your head and invite Jesus into your life. And once you've accepted Jesus Christ, you find your good church home in your community. And you go where Jesus is preached, and his grace abounds. One day the trumpet's going to sound. The clock is ticking. The time is upon us. But today is the day of salvation. Father, bless these moments. And we give you the praise for it. Bless this invitation. In Jesus' name. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Would you come?